Could laws supposed to be protecting kids online actually lead to massive privacy violations and unconstitutional restrictions on free speech for millions of Americans? Yeah, let's talk about that. Instead of focusing on winning arguments, we're teaching the basic fundamentals of sales and marketing and how we can use them to win in the world of politics, teaching you how to meet people where they're at on the issues they care about. Welcome to The Brian Nichols Show. Well, hey there, folks. Brian Nichols here on The Brian Nichols Show. Thank you for joining us on, of course, another fun-filled episode. I am, as always, your humble host, joining you from our lovely Cardio Miracle Studios here in Eastern Indiana. The Brian Nichols Show is powered by Amp America. Very excited to be part of the Amp America team. I just wrote a banger over on ampamerica.com. I take our friends over at Reason Magazine to task. Why are they attacking our good friend Javier Milei, new libertarian president of Argentina? He's not libertarian enough. Heard that argument before. I go ahead and refute that line by line pretty much in my brand new opinion article over at Amp America. Go ahead and check that out. Plus dozens of other articles from news, opinion pieces, and more over at ampamerica.com. And also The Brian Nichols Show and, frankly, yours truly, powered by Cardio Miracle. They are our studio sponsor. And folks, I've said it time and again, the Cardio Miracle difference is 1,000%, 10,000% real. I've been using Cardio Miracle now for well over half a year. And folks, I've seen the difference for myself. Now, Cardio Miracle is a phenomenal supplement with a secret ingredient. Okay, it's not that secret. It's a Nobel Prize winning ingredient called nitric oxide. And what it does is helps improve the blood flow from your blood vessels to your heart. You know, the important thing there, your ticker, keeping you going. So if you want to improve your heart health, better pump at the gym, heck, better night's sleep, why not go ahead, lower the blood pressure along the way? All those amazing, benefits of the Cardio Miracle experience. And I've seen those benefits for myself. My doctor was pretty happy last time I went there saying, Brian, your blood pressure is the best it's been pretty much ever. What are you doing? And I said, well, I'm doing Cardio Miracle morning and night. So folks, if you want to join yours truly, plus the tens of thousands of other folks out there who are experiencing the Cardio Miracle difference, well, all you got to do, if you're watching us here on the video version of the show, head down below into the description, click the link, or go simply to BrianNicholsShow.com right there on the homepage, our good friends, Cardio Miracle, click that link and you'll save 15% off your order. Now, if you didn't click a link and you just go to cardiomiracle.com, well, don't miss out on the 15% off. Use code TBNS at checkout. They'll make sure that that discount is applied. And if you're on the fence, you're like, Brian, this sounds good, but I don't know. It just sounds like it's too good to be true. Well, don't worry. You have a 100% money back guarantee. So you actually have nothing to lose besides what? The sleepless nights, the baby pump at the gym, and the high blood pressure. So go ahead, take part in the Cardio Miracle journey today. Head over to cardiomiracle.com and enjoy the best heart health supplement in the world. I guarantee your heart will thank you. All right, folks, your heart will thank you, but will your kids thank you if you go ahead and play the role of mom or dad taking them off the internet? Well, you know what? I'm sorry. You kind of got to be a parent in this case, because otherwise, mommy daddy government is trying to play the role of parent to talk to us about why that maybe isn't a good idea. Returning to the Brian Nichols Show once again, Carl Szabo, welcome to the program. How you been, my friend?
You know, pretty good. I'm clearly not as amped up as you are, but I will try to match the excitement level for you.
It's the Cardio Miracle. Come on, Carl. Let's go. No, I'm just teasing. It's
how has there not been a Fast and Furious joke in there with the nitrous oxide?
I don't know.
It worked for Vin Diesel hitting the Nas.
I mean, I gotta do that. I gotta hit the Nas. I did get corrected on the episode with the CEO of Cardio Miracle. I said nitric oxide. He said, no, nitric oxide. There's a difference. He's like, not the one that powers the car, the one that powers the heart. And I said,
okay, well, there goes my Fast and Furious joke. Thanks.
But you know what? It's same church, different pew, Carl. I'm okay with it. I thought it was funny. I made the joke myself. But who all these scientists are like, come on, use the elements properly. But that's a different conversation for a different day. Carl, welcome back to the show. What's been going on in the world of Carl Szabo?
You know, took the kids to Florida. We're on spring break, Easter, all over the place. But that kind of gets to the exact thing we're talking about here, being a parent and being around. And you're talking about, your kids being upset with you for instilling rules. Well, you know what? a little secret that we probably didn't appreciate when we were kids, but creating rules, creating boundaries, telling your kids no, shows them actually that you love them.
Yes.
It does. It shows that I love you so much that I will prevent you from doing something that you want to do because I care about you that much. Parents who just kind of hand off a, in this case, cell phone to a kid and then be surprised when bad stuff happens really shouldn't be. I mean, I wouldn't do that with basically anything. I mean, I wouldn't hand them a board game and expect them not to destroy it necessarily. But and similarly, you can't hand them anything without going over rules, going over restrictions, setting boundaries and guidelines. And that is a role for parents. Parents can never be replaced. And unfortunately, we're seeing a lot of, well, well-intentioned lawmakers, but really bad-ideaed legislators try to replace parents with government or try to replace parents with social media. And both are wrong because at the end of the day, there is no replacement for parents. And we need to be the change we want to see in our kids' lives.
Here, here. Well, and Carl, I mean, this isn't a left team blue or a left team. A left side, right side, red team, blue team argument. This is something we've seen across the board. Last time you were on the show, I mean, she's just one of the most screechy members of Congress, Elizabeth Warren. We are talking about her in quite a bit of detail and talking about how, yeah, Elizabeth Warren thinks that she knows best for us and very much in this like parental mentality. But on the right side of the aisle, we're seeing this exact same mindset rear its ugly head into the discourse as we're talking about kids today. And I mean, let's just go right down to the state that you're hanging out in right now, down in Florida. It's a perfect case study to look at, where Governor Ron DeSantis just signed into law a bill that would prohibit kids from the ages of 14 and below from going on these different social media sites unless they had explicit permission from the parent. Now, that sounds great, right? Now, just anybody reading that or hearing that, they're like, what's the problem there? Carl, I'll let you answer that question. What's the problem there? This sounds great.
Yeah, nothing sounds greater than ID for the internet, which is actually something that Governor DeSantis campaigned against when Nikki Haley kind of put that trial balloon into the ecosystem. So what we are talking about is essentially ID for the internet. And you're like, oh, Carl, you're crazy. This is all about protecting kids. I'm not under 14 or I'm not a parent, so why should I care? Well, you should realize that anytime you go to the store to buy alcohol, for example, what do? They, well, check your ID. And why do they do that? Well, they have to make darn sure that you are over the age of 21. And the same is true for the social media laws. If you try to sign up for a social media account and you are, let's say, 41, not 14, they got to check your ID. They got to make sure that you are who you say you are and that you are the age that you say you are. And this is much, much more than just the usual age verification boxes that we see all the time where we say we were born in like 1927, just get me access. No, they need perfect information because it is strict liability. Websites and social media platforms can't get it wrong because if they do, the government will come down on them like a ton of bricks. So they will be collecting our most sensitive information, driver's license numbers, social security numbers, passports, picture identification. Because at the end of the day, the old adage of on the internet, no one knows you're a dog holds true. And on the internet, no one knows that you're, let's say that I'm over 40, because that's close enough, without me being able to prove it with video evidence, holding an ID, looking into a camera. And that is a dangerous thing, because while you may think it's okay to have your perfect identity on some sites, it's going to be really scary.
Attention fans of The Office and political enthusiasts alike. Our friends over at Indie Emporium are ready to help you show your support for the most unexpected candidate of 2024, Michael Scott. Picture yourself wearing our We're Back in Business graphic tee featuring a bold red Michael Scott 2024 design that's sure to turn some heads. The soft, comfortable fabric and vibrant print make this a perfect choice for any campaign rally or debate watch party. And here's the best part. As part of our special campaign launch. You can use the discount code MS2024 to get 25% off your purchase. But you got to act fast because this is part of our Michael Scott 2024 campaign launch, meaning it's going to go fast. So you only have 2 weeks to get the exclusive 25% off your order. One more time, MS2024. Special shout out to our friends over at Indie Emporium. You can check them out at IndieEmporium.com.
Imagine the government decides to go after every single person who posted on Truth Social. Well, now they don't have to guess who that is. They'll have a cache of personal information so that they can begin kicking in doors as soon as they want.
Scary stuff, man. Like, now, there are some folks I can guarantee in the audience, they're hearing this and they're like, well, I see certain applications for this, and heck, I'll give you a real-life application. In my day job, I lead a sales team in the greater contact center software space, and one of the things that we see in our space that's actually sought after quite a bit, specifically in any world where you're making and taking payments, or specifically in this case, credit unions, banks, where you're trying to access important account information, we have technology in place where, let's say, Carl, you call into a customer support center and you're on the phone with Beverly, and Beverly's like, okay, Carl, we just need to confirm your identity really quick. And then you can literally in real time hold your ID up to your phone and Beverly can confirm it's you real time on that call. Now, in that context, okay, that makes sense, right? You're calling into a bank, got to make sure that, you know, John Doe over in Uruguay is not trying to take over your account. We get it. But when we're talking about kids, or heck, anyone trying to access a freaking social media website, right? Like, just to go onto Facebook and play Farmville. Do people still play Farmville? Probably not. But like, if that was the approach that you needed to take, and just to access that, I'm sorry, you got to go through social security card. You know, we need to have your birth certificate. We got to have your driver's license. Can we have your most recent pay stubs? Like, that's where I feel that this is starting to head towards. And yeah, it makes sense in certain areas, but is this really an effective use of government powers? Or heck, Carl, is this just a matter of government saying, damn it, mom and dad, do your job or we're going to do it for you?
So there's a lot there. So first of all, let's not confuse the possibility of something to be done with whether it should be done. So if I want to access my bank account and they need to verify it's me, that's one thing. I can keep my money under the mattress if I want. But now we are talking about ID and verification just to speak, just to hear, just to read. That's really scary. If I want to walk up to a newspaper kiosk and put in a quarter and take out a newspaper, there's no ID check there. I can just go and read it. If I want to go to the library and pick a book off the shelf, I can go and read it. I can pay in cash at Barnes & Noble. But once you begin forcing people to hand over information, and hand over information that is potentially accessible by the government, now you're talking about chilling free speech. Because just think about all the websites you visited in the past week. I guarantee that there's at least one or two somewhere that if somebody saw it, they could make a lot of hay out of it. They could make you look really, really bad. They could tell your employer or future employer, hey, Jimbo Jones went to this website. You may not want to hire that guy. And that's what we call chilling of free speech. And that's exactly what we're talking about. If you want to go out and speak out against the administration, you might not do that anymore because now the government knows who you are.
Really quick, so Carl, I got to add this in, right? For anybody listening who's like, they would never do that. Do we got to rewind 4 years? Because I'll do it. I'll go back 4 years, even though I don't want to. When we sat down and my governor back in Pennsylvania was saying who's essential and who's non-essential, and then online looking to see who's promoting misinformation, disinformation, malinformation. You don't think that the government officials would have loved to have a true database of every single person who was daring to question the official narratives? Like, that is literally why we're having this conversation.
I mean, we had the Disinformation Governance Board less than a year ago. Remember, they were going to go to people's houses and just kind of educate them on what the correct narrative is. I mean, that's some scary stuff. But at the end of the day, what are we trying to do here? What's the purpose of this law? Is it to verify people on the line? No, of course not. It is to, quote, protect children. Now let's look to see, is collecting all this sensitive information on minors going to be protecting of children? Absolutely not. A federal judge out in California, because this is similar to a law that was enacted out in California where you had to do ID for the internet for anyone under the age of 18. A federal judge, I think he was a Clinton-appointed judge, and he actually looked at the law and said, wait a minute. Forcing the collection of the most sensitive information about children seems to go against our desire to protect the privacy of children. So are we really advancing a legitimate governmental interest by mandating this level of collection, this level of information? And that was just to look at whether it could be done with minors. Now, the Florida law actually goes further to make it even more complicated. It's something similar to what we saw in Ohio, where my company, NetChoice, brought a suit and got that law blocked. And that involves parental verification. So parental verification is actually really, 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 really hard. Hmm. There are daytime TV shows dedicated to, is it the dad or not? When it comes to parental verification and guardians, it's even harder. And that's because you can't look at last name. There are a lot of Smiths out there. You can't look at birth certificates because people get put up for adoption. People get divorced, adopted, all these things. So how do you verify that I am the guardian of my children? You have to, first of all, perfectly verify them. You then have to perfectly verify me. And then you need something, some record, which I don't know where they exist, to verify that I am the guardian. Because I'll give you a simple example from my life. My son's friend, his dad is overseas serving. His mom kind of went AWOL. And now the son's grandparents are raising him. But the son's grandparents are not the legal guardians. So they could not give the consent necessary. So once again, just in the real world, we're having difficulty identifying guardians and legal guardians. And now you're asking somebody sitting in Silicon Valley to figure that out? Absolutely not. So at the end of the day, look, I appreciate the underlying desire. We have to protect kids. However, trying to replace parents with government or trying to replace parents with Silicon Valley is not the answer. At the end of the day, you cannot replace parents. So what can you do? What can you do? Florida, ironically, is a nation leader, along with the state of Virginia, in requiring digital education in schools as part of the course curriculum. So now every Florida student is receiving an education in digital wellness, digital online privacy, digital online security. And that information is required by law to be made available to parents because, heck, we can use that information as well. That's a solution. That's a way to deal with it. Another thing is at NetChoice, we created the Shield campaign where we're actually working with state attorneys generals and parents to provide tools and education of the tools available to them right now so that they can decide what websites their kids can access and what websites their kids can't access. And these tools are available through ISPs, internet service providers, or the wireless providers, and making parents aware of those tools. And then at the end of the day, parents need to be parents. If you don't want your kid on a site or service, you need to have a conversation. And it's not going to be a fun conversation, but it's an important conversation. If you don't want your kids to be on devices at the dinner table, you can't be on devices at the dinner table. Because remember, the kids want to be just like us. I want to be like mom. I want to be like dad. And if they see us on our devices all the time, they want to be on their devices all the time. So it's tough, but being a parent is tough. And that's the job we sign up for. And we can't expect the government or Silicon Valley to do it for us.
Yeah, that's some like Ryan Holiday daily dad stuff right there. Like the kids will become you. They're watching what you do. One of the quotes he says is to say, you know, do you see us do that, right? And if the kids are like, yeah, when we're at dinner, you're literally on your phone all the time. Yeah, they're gonna be little copycats. That's what kids do. They are little mini us. But let me do this, Carl, right? Let me put on here. I'll turn my head around. I'm going to be the official official alternative voice here. I'm going to ask
you. That's your cool hat. That's your official hat.
That's the official
good idea. When the brim is facing forward. Got it. Okay.
That's right. Good ideas don't require force hat. But I'm going to ask you to require force in this make-believe world right now. And that is, let's steel man the argument. And from the other side of the argument, well, Carl, at the very least, this is stopping kids from, much like, let's say it was, you know, the 21-year-old drinking age, right? Well, it's stopping 17, 16, 15-year-olds from wanting to go to the liquor store and take part in this, or trying to use a fake ID at those younger ages. Because if the alcohol drinking age was at 18, they'd be going in younger. Like, do you see that being an argument that even has the tiniest bit of merit? Or do you think that, much like we've been articulating today, that really just comes down to parents being parents and parenting?
So, twofold. One is the legal argument. So, you do not have a constitutional right to access alcohol. You do not have a constitutional right to access cigarettes. You do have a constitutional right to speak. The First Amendment guarantees that. And we've seen time and time again, U.S. Supreme Courts uphold the constitutional rights for even children. As much as we may not like it or parents may not want it, the First Amendment does not say it applies to only citizens over 18. It says it applies to all Americans.
Picture this. You wake up with a pounding headache and a sore throat, and you dread the thought of dragging yourself to the doctor's office, waiting for hours just to get a simple prescription. But what if I told you there's a better way? With The Wellness Company, you can see a board-certified doctor right from your phone or computer. No more waiting rooms, no more hassle. Just log in, describe your symptoms, and get the treatment you need. And as a listener of The Brian Nichols Show, you're going to get 10% off your visit if you use code TBNS. So don't let your busy schedule keep you from feeling your best. Visit The Wellness Company and use code TBNS to start your journey to a convenient, affordable healthcare.
And there was an instance about 20 years ago when video game violence was the issue du jour. It was the pearl-clutching issue. And the state of California enacted a law that made it illegal for video game sellers to sell a video game that is, quote, dangerous or violent to minors. And that went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and I think it was 7-2 or 9-0 decision, Scalia and Ginsburg, both in the majority, saying, no, that is violating both the First Amendment rights of the video game makers and the First Amendment rights of the people under the age of 18 to access that information. Same thing's true with social media. As much as parents or lawmakers may not want to allow access to information or the freedom to speak, it still applies.
Question.
Yes.
What about the big one? Pornography, right? That's been a whole different topic we've seen, especially with the readily availableness of sites like Pornhub, for example, where heck, a 13-year-old, if they have a phone, they just gotta go to a website, right? So what about situations like that where we do already have some certain parameters in place to prevent those literal children from accessing content like this? And then let me add a little bit more context to this. And how do we maybe correlate this into, what kids are seeing in their public schools now for different books that are being, put into schools? Like, is there a fine line here when we're starting to get into material that is quite literally damaging to kids, specifically when we're going into the world of sexual deviancy and the likes?
Yeah, and I'll give you the lawyer answer and the law professor answer.
Love it.
Ends. So let's look at the issue of pornography. Constitutionally protected, obscenity is not. And so I sound very pedantic when I make this distinction, but it's an important distinction. Obscenity, the U.S. Supreme Court famously said, I know it when I see it. And it's something that violates period interest. It's got a whole set of facts called Miller test. I'm not going to necessarily get into it. But, okay, we want to protect kids from pornography. Let's just assume that's the basis that we're doing it. This law that got passed in Florida has absolutely nothing to do with that because it only applies to social media platforms. So if you run a pornographic website, it doesn't apply to you. It's not going to prevent kids from accessing it. So right then and there, these laws are not achieving that goal. Now, there is an approach that has kind of taken hold in a number of states across the country, Virginia, Texas, Montana, Utah, Louisiana, Arkansas. And what it does is for pornographic websites where they have a substantial portion of pornographic material, they're required to verify that the user is over the age of 18. And Pornhub challenged that, the law in Texas, and it was actually upheld by the Fifth Circuit Court just a couple weeks ago. So that's at least a different approach, that if the concern is pornography, going to the source. It's kind of like saying when you go into the supermarket, if they sell alcohol in your neighborhood, checking an ID at the door of everybody going into the supermarket because they might access or might want to purchase alcohol. Well, no, of course we don't do that. You do it only at the point of sale, when they're trying to actually make that purchase. Maybe they're just going in to buy toothpaste or something innocuous. So if that's the problem we're trying to solve, that's a very different conversation. And we're already seeing a number of states across the country enact laws that apply to the pornographer, but not painting with a broad brush to ban all access to information, regardless of its scientific or artistic or societal values. And so that's kind of the difference we're seeing between this narrow targeted approach on a specific harm that they are trying to stop and this broad brush approach that we're seeing in states like Florida recently.
All right, I got my normal host hat back on. We're back to normal. I'm not going to play devil's advocate here.
I like it, yeah.
Back to normal. Yeah, that's right.
I love it. I love devil's advocate because it's important to recognize that these lawmakers aren't doing this because of malice or some you know, complete hatred or something like that. We all want to do something that's right. And that's why I'm going and talking with these state lawmakers all the time. That's why my company NetChoice is doing these things, because an unconstitutional law protects zero kids. And that's what we're seeing. California, Arkansas, Ohio, Utah enacted laws that are just blatantly unconstitutional. And you know how many kids they prevented with them? Zero. Just like, so let's do something that actually works.
It's just like the TSA. It feels like. But I mean, Carl, and you teased it here. This is going towards where my final thoughts are going. And that's, you know, we look at this, and I think in the more right-hand side of the political aisle, we do look at folks in government with that nefarious lens, with those ill intentions. And to your point, I think we do have to take a step back every now and then and just acknowledge the elephant in the room that more often than not, these people are just, they do have good intentions. Maybe not all of them, but certain individuals have good intentions, and they look at government as the best means to solving those problems, right? And that right there is where I think we, on the right-hand side of the aisle, instead of just complaining about this, we have an opportunity, and that is to offer those solutions without saying, here's government to help enact that solution, right? So how can we bring solutions in the private sector, right? Or just overtly outside of the realm of government to the areas that they need to be brought to and actually fix it, right? What you're doing at NetChoice, heck, what I'm doing in the contact center space. Like, could you imagine, here, we don't have to imagine, a situation where the government is trying to get you to have a situation where Apple and Android are on equal playing field because they've ruled against iPhone and Apple from being a quote-unquote monopoly or something in that world by saying, like, the poor Android users, they have a worse experience because they don't get a text message that comes through normally like it does with iPhone users. That's not an argument. That's not an argument. So, like, what if, like the Android users out there were able to create a solution that made it so it could seamlessly interact with iPhones? Heck, that might already be out there. I don't know, because I really don't care. But for the folks out there,
it's called WhatsApp.
There you go.
Or it's called Signal. Or it's called one of a bajillion different messaging services.
And that's the point, right? We have solutions. We have to do a better job at selling those solutions, because for every solution that we do a bad job at selling, there is someone who is trying to solve that problem by leveraging government. So I think it's on us, and thank God for folks like you, Carl, who are actually going out and building these solutions, particularly when it comes to sometimes very hard to, you know, put your finger on topics like internet privacy and, you know, access for children, right? Like, this starts to get into the weeds. Your average person, your average parent maybe looks at this and says, I don't know what I can do. Like, yeah, I have a cell phone for my kid, but like, I'm not techie. I don't know how to make it so they can't access certain things. That's where the free market comes into play. That's where good ideas that don't require force come into play, because we have not just the solutions, but we have the drive, we have the know-how, and we have the means to make these solutions exist without saying, mommy, daddy, government, please come help. So that's my final thoughts for today. Carl, let's build these solutions and really start playing the role of parent and avoid the government playing the role of parent. That's my final thoughts. What do you have for us on your end?
Yeah, couple quick, simple tips for parents out there, right? One, if you don't want your kids on devices late at night, have them charge them in the kitchen at night. Or they have to charge them in your room at night. That way they can't have the devices. Have conversations with your kids. Let's give education a chance. Florida and Virginia are doing that. But at the end of the day, we have to be the change we want to see in our kids. If you want your kids to interact with you rather than looking at a device, you have to interact with your kids without looking at a device. You, when they say, mommy, daddy, come spend time with me, and you say, no, I'd rather, doom scroll through some social media, they're going to want to do that when they're grown up. So let's do that before we turn to government to try and become our parent. Because at the end of the day, we know what's best for our kids and our families better than any government entity, better than any social media ever will. So we got to be the ones responsible. Parents can do it. And anyone who says the parents are too weak, too dumb, or don't know it, shame on them, because parents have been parenting since the dawn of man.
It is literally the oldest profession in the book, and I officially have that job. It's pretty cool, not gonna lie. All right, Carl, we are unfortunately at the part of the show where we must wrap up and say goodbye. And also, I want to get you back to enjoying the celebration of Easter with your family down in the lovely state of Florida. So with that being said, I want to thank you for rejoining the show today. Thank you to the audience for joining the show today. And with that being said, Carl, I mean, the audience, they're going to go ahead and give this episode a share. I know they are. And I want them to be able to go ahead and tag you, reach out to you, support the work you're doing. So where can folks go ahead and continue this conversation?
Yeah, you absolutely need to like, follow, and subscribe at Carl Szabo on X, CarlSzab, as in boy, O as in October. And you can follow what we're doing at NetChoice on X, NetChoice. And check us out at our website, netchoice.org.
Love it. Links in the show notes. Carl, it's been a pleasure. By the way, folks, if you are joining us on the video version of the show, stick around right about here. You're going to be seeing a video pop up. That's going to be the video last time Carl was on the show, where we talked about Elizabeth Warren trying to play mommy government in this case. And specifically, we talked about her trying to help defuse the Spirit and JetBlue mergers, plus a bunch of different areas that Elizabeth Warren is trying to get the government's fingers into. So please go ahead and check out that episode. And for today's episode, again, like I said, you can find us on your favorite video platform, YouTube, Rumble, Ben Swan, Sovereign, Facebook, as well as X.com. And like I said, if you are joining us on the YouTubes or on the Rumbles, first of all, hit that subscribe button and little notification bell so you miss a single time we have a new episode drop. But also, we want to hear your thoughts. If you're a parent, or if you're going to be a parent, or heck, if you're a teacher, or someone who deals with kids, we want to hear your thoughts. So head down below into the comments. Let us know what you think. Is this, in fact, an appropriate way to deal with kids accessing not so good stuff on the internet? Or do you believe, as Carl and I do, that parents are the best means of actually dealing with that when parents play the role of parents? Let us know your thoughts down below. Also, if you are joining us on the podcast version of the show, well, thank you for listening. You can find us, if you are not listening on the podcast version, wherever it is you consume your podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, wherever it may be, just do me a favor, hit subscribe, and also hit download all unplayed episodes. And here's the reason. It's going to be a little overwhelming, I can guarantee that, because we have over 825 episodes here of The Brian Nichols Show. But the reason you want to check them out is because we have amazing guests like Carl here on the show every single week, three times a week. And I guarantee if you get some value from today's episode, you're going to get some value from those other episodes. I know I hear from folks, they end up leaving these episodes feeling pretty educated, enlightened, and informed. That's all we have for you today. Actually, one last note, and that is to please go ahead and support the folks who support The Brian Nichols Show. That's our sponsors. So, Cardio Miracle, our brand new sponsor, The Wellness Company. Plus, we have some of our good old favorites like Evil CBD, Liquid Freedom Energy Tea, and more. So please go ahead and give them some love. And I teased it earlier. I have a brand new banger of an article out over at Amp America questioning why our so-called libertarian websites like Reason unreasonably attacking the only libertarian president out there in one Argentinian Javier Milei. Go ahead and check that article out over at Amp America, or if you're joining us again here on The Brian Nichols Show, link will be in the show notes. That's all we have for you. Brian Nichols signing off here on The Brian Nichols Show for Carl Szabo. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to The Brian Nichols Show. Find more episodes at BrianNicholsShow.com.